somebody wants to so read the rest of that as well. All right.
Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and turn to Acts 23. Acts 23. Let me read one verse, and then we're going to kick off into our continuation on this doctrine of sin, the doctrine of sin. 23, verses 7 and 8. Acts 23, starting in verse 7. Says, and when he had said so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it is a blessing to be back and be a blessing to be here tonight amongst the people here. And Father, we're so very thankful for your word. We thank you that we can have the truth of your word to always rest on, and not all the craziness in the world and stuff. And it's not going on just here, it's going on everywhere. And so we just thank you that we can always go back to the truths of your word, and we can stand on it knowing that we're on a firm foundation. And Father, I pray that we'd learn some things tonight that we didn't know, maybe refresh our minds of things that we did know but we haven't thought about them for a while. Father, I pray that you would be glorified, and we are looking forward to it now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So sin always creates division. Isn't it interesting how sin always creates a division? There's no getting around it. It always creates a division. While good can be in unity with itself, sin often battles with itself. False religions fight against each other. Isn't it interesting? This false religion doesn't agree with this false religion. I read that scripture from the about the Pharisees and the Sadducees because the only thing they really agreed on is they didn't like Jesus, right? They didn't like the teachings of Jesus and all. That's what they agreed on, but as soon as something came up, there's a division started. Well, anybody who's against God is in sin. Right? I mean, it's pretty obvious, because to be disobedient to the word of God is to be in sin. And so we see that drug gangs battle against one another. You ever seen a bunch of drug gangs? They're all vying for the same clientele, right? They want the same clients out there and all, but they're in gang wars all the time. Something that you don't hear about much in the mainstream media is all of the people who are shot and killed every single day in Chicago. Yeah. It goes on every single day. And as much as they want to tell you that it's all about race and all, it's not about race, it's about gangs. There's blacks killing blacks. But you don't hear anything about it until you hear about a white person killing a black person, and then it's all, they're racist. It's just interesting. Mob bosses battle against one another. Remember that there's still mobs out there, folks. You might think they're gone, but no, they're still out there. But you watch those things that went on in the 20s and all, and I wasn't around then. I have to watch it on TV, right? But you see what happened back then. They were killing each other off. Why? Because they wanted the control. And so sin is not getting along with one another. Homosexual groups hate racist groups. You know, I had a nice conversation with a nice brother. He's African American, I guess. I don't know. Sometimes they want to be known as black. Sometimes they want to be known as black African American. Sometimes they want to know as brown skinned. I mean, I don't know what you call him anymore. I just call him a brother in Christ. And but anyway, it was an interesting conversation that I had with him about what's going on. I said, I was called a racist this year because I said all lives matter. I said, is that because that certain group doesn't like the fact that I believe all lives matter because they're willing to kill off babies? And I believe all lives matter. And I told him, I said, don't get me wrong, your life matters, but so does mine. But so does the baby in the womb. It all matters. So let's get to all lives matter. We have one race, the human race, and let's everybody get along. It's really not that difficult to figure out. But you can't say all lives matter when you believe in abortion. And that's the problem. Stalin and Hitler battled against one another. All these things go on. Sin divides. It's the bottom line. And we must recognize that the deeper we sink into sin, the greater conflict will enter into our lives. We're going to have conflict in our marriages. We're going to have conflicts in our families. We're going to have conflict in our friendships and every other relationship that we have. The deeper we go into sin, the more conflicts we're going to have, including conflicts in our church. The more we go into sin, the more conflicts we're going to have. And it's everywhere. It's rampant. I was talking to a brother down there in Texas, and we prayed for him, Brother Robert McClelland, and he told me, he says, as of Sunday night, I no longer have a church. I said, what happened? He said, well, we had five deacons. One of them wanted control, so four of them resigned. And I was forced out. I said, four resigned against one? He said, yeah. Because they just got fed up with the way he was trying to run things. And he wanted to run everything. I said, wow. So he says, as of Sunday night, I no longer have a church. I said, that is the result of sin. Plain and simple. It just boggles my mind what people will do. Then sin, though often used interchangeably, is distinct from evil. A lot of people say sin is evil, and evil is sin. Yeah, but they're not as interchangeable because they're distinctly different. Natural disasters such as tsunamis, which we hear a lot about from our missionaries and all, earthquakes, tornadoes, floods, and fires are often referred to as evil. However, they are not sin. I would say they're a result of sin, right? But they are not in themselves sin. And that's one sinful tsunami out there, right? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. Boy, that earthquake was exceedingly sinful, right? No, I mean, we may think it's evil, but it's not sinful. And so we have to understand that. And this clarifies the meaning of the words of God in Isaiah 45:7. Isaiah 45:7 says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Very plain. He's the one that does this. That's why it irritates me when they say Mother Nature's at it again or something. No, God creates these things to get our attention. And it's not working on our part. It's not that God's doing anything wrong. It's that we are not listening. You know? Remember the old story? Not listening, I'm not listening. Well, that's the problem, is we're not listening. The Hebrew word translated here as evil is ra and means calamity. God did create calamities as part of the sin curse upon the world. God did not create and is in no way the author of sin. He allowed it to happen, right? You know, I've said many times, God has allowed things to happen in our lives. But God is not the creator of sin. God is not the one that, he didn't want sin in the world. In fact, he gave man a way to escape sin. And man chose to sin anyway. Why? Because we want it all. And we want it our way. And we're not going to be happy until we get it. You know, what we're going through today, it's all about control. It's all about control. They want control. They want it their way. And they're not going to be happy till they get it. It's the bottom line. And it's because of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus was not sin, In fact, he knew no sin, but he became sin for us that he could die in our place. He died for us, for mankind. And by the way, all of mankind. I heard a message on some of these people that are hyper-Calvinists that believe that God only died for certain people. That's not in the Bible. Somebody needs to read the Word of God and understand that it's not in there. God died for all of mankind. God will save whosoever. Whosoever. Not just limited to certain people, but who. Now, does God know who's going to get saved and who's not? Of course he does. He's God. But it's available to all of mankind. Now, people are saying, because he knows who won't get saved, he's not allowing them to get saved. No. That's again, where does all this thinking come from? Satan, the father of lies, right? And yet, which is because of sin, and I mean, everything that's going on in the world that's evil, wicked, sinful, whatever, it all comes from Satan. And yet, we want to get on board with that and use his lies and everything to justify things that are going on and twist it and turn it so it's not what God said, but what they think what God said. If you have to think differently than what God actually said, then you're the one with the problem. God said it. Let's just follow it. And then we won't have as much trouble with this sin thing as so many are. Titus 2:1 says, "In hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." God that cannot lie. Now we have Satan, the father of lies. We've got a God who cannot lie. Which one do you want to follow? Now, I've said for years, I don't want anyone running the show who's a liar. I just don't. Because I can't trust them. I can't believe them. But I can always trust and believe God because he cannot lie. Pretty simple. It's pretty easy. Then Hebrews 4:15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Jesus has been tempted in all the things that we've been tempted in. Yet Jesus didn't sin. Well, he couldn't sin. He was God. Well, he was tempted in all points like we are. He chose not to sin. Can we choose not to sin? If anybody says no, we've got a problem, because this says yes. We can choose not to sin. We have that option. The problem is we don't always exercise that option. But we do have that option. Hebrews 6:18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Here again. It's impossible for God to lie. He cannot. And when the Bible says over and over and over he cannot lie, and the Bible tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, is he ever going to change? No, he's not. He's going to remain the same God he's always been. The difference is we change. And sometimes with every wind of doctrine, right? We just floating around out there till somebody comes up with something else we want to hear. It's kind of like I was saying earlier. You got all these different studies and things that are going on out there, and if it doesn't line up with your narrative, you throw it out. It shouldn't be whether or not it lines up with our narrative. It should be whether or not it's the truth. Let's stick with the truth. Because the narrative shouldn't matter. The narrative has nothing to do with it. It's, is it truth or is it not? We need the truth, right? And then James 1:13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Our temptations don't come from God, they come from Satan. Satan's the one that's tempting us to see if we will fail. That's the bottom line. And then 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not sin. He just didn't. Thank God he didn't. If Jesus had sinned, could we have eternal life? The answer is definitely a no. We could not have eternal life if Jesus had sinned. Because he had to be sinless. He had to be that spotless lamb to be a sacrifice for us. And then 1 John 3:5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him... What was that? Oh, well. What do you say? It is what it is. Again, sin, because of sin in the world. It's the bottom line, you know? All right, 1 John 3:5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He couldn't have sinned and been our substitute. He could not have sinned and been the spotless Lamb of God. He came to take away the sins of the world, and thank God that he did. Can you imagine where we would be today? Can you imagine where we would be today if there was no presence of the Holy Spirit on earth? One day they're going to get to find out. One day, you notice I said they are going to get to find out. I'm not going to be here. As long as you know Christ as your own personal Savior, you're not going to be here for that. But when we're taken out of here, the Holy Spirit is removed, it's going to get interesting. It's going to get very interesting. Thank God I won't be here for that. Anyway, and we're out of time again, so we will be moving on how all mankind has been corrupted by sin.